Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone cold no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hello and welcome to... Already not nailing the intro.
And
Sarah is out of town, so it's just the two bad
just
children that are taking
us.
Over the podcast. This is, of course, your favorite Monday murder, scam cults, dun, dun. Everything. This is not another true crime podcast. I am Casey Balsham at Case Face B, and I'm with...
Danny Murphy at Cashmere Danny. Cashmere with a K.
All right, we nailed the intro.
We're killing it so far.
Excited.
Despite the fact that there is snow in my sneakers.
There is. This is, if you live in New York City, it's gross.
It's a gross one.
It's because it's not even like, it's like snow I'm fine with, but rain can suck my D. And what we're in the middle of is like snow rain.
I'm going to call it
sticking.
Pre-cum.
It's weather pre-cum. Yeah. Oh, God, when Sarah's here, we really don't behave.
No. Sarah, don't listen to this episode.
Sarah, I'm going to earmuff
Sarah. I had a panic where I was like, wait, do 12-year-olds listen to this podcast? And then I remembered it's about murder, so I'm hopefully not, but...
They probably do.
You know, they watch Euphoria, so they...
Hi, 12-year-olds.
They know. TikTok us. Yeah. Someone told us to get on TikTok.
Yes.
We might.
We'll put up a thing.
Yeah.
I think we fucking kill TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, I'm...
As soon as we learned how to use
it.
Yeah.
It's over for you bitches. Yeah.
As soon as we figure out TikTok, it is fucking over for you.
You hear me? Wait, and you said that you saw something that you wanted to...
Oh, yeah. I want to kick out this episode. I think we... You know, I miss when we used to talk about all the things that used to just fill us full of rage in
such
our daily
rage.
Lives and the things we saw. And I told Danny before we sat down here, but and he told me where it's from. But I was getting a salad and I saw somebody with a boxed water. First off, boxed water doesn't piss me off. It's fine. I like it. I think we overuse plastic. It's disgusting. But it said future sweat. And that made me want to stab a bitch. Like, I won't drink that water. No. Future sweat? Oh, my God.
It makes you want to have just coffee instead.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, great. Now I'm not going to drink it.
And it ties in perfectly from our episode from last week because that water bottle, and everyone who knows it, is from
Y7. Oh, my God. Because
that's what they call all their water fountains are future sweat. It's just future sweat everywhere.
Who greenlit this marketing campaign?
I'm assuming a blonde girl named Kayla who loves Meek Mill. Because that's everyone who's there. So.
Yeah. Like they were like, oh, why don't we just like empower them and make them feel like they want to come back and work out. So let's call the water future sweat. die, Kayla,
also,
die.
I love that she's like, let's rebrand water. Yeah. Because people aren't really jumping for that. It's kind of essential, girl. But sure, we'll call it sweat.
Yeah. I mean, the information about water is out, man.
The future is now.
We know we're supposed to drink it. I still have a really hard time with it.
I have a really
I've been really better. Can I tell you that this is so sad, but so my friend, you said you're not watching Love Island, right?
I hear and there.
Okay, so Love Island is, you know, British trash, but it's on Hulu for American trash like me. But they have these water bottles that they're always drinking out of. And so my friend Sarah sent me and Robbie two of the water bottles.
Oh.
And there's something about maybe I just always needed a water bottle with like a little straw. I've been drinking way more water out of my Love Island water bottle. Again, my accents. Love Island. This is going to get mugged off, babe. So I've been drinking more regular water.
So guys, if you've been worried about Casey, she's doing just fine. She has future sweat coming out of the pores.
Gross. Okay, what have you seen that had made you want to die this week?
Well, what I've seen is actually what so many of the people that follow us on Instagram for the podcast at NATC Pod have seen, because we posted a fun little thing.
So fun.
Just send us
you
your...
You guys
like,
killed this game.
Literally killed it, like I think your relatives may have killed people, because we asked for super secret serial killer traits that you oversaw on like Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
Or like Thanksgiving with your family, extended family, that weird cousin that you're like, can I kiss you? Like, can you not be at this dinner? What are we doing here? And we had you all send it in. And I was expecting to get like 10 little silly ones. We got so many DMs about all these like insane traits that I'm just going to read some off. I'm not going to put their names because I realize I asked not permission for anybody and I don't want Sarah to think.
These were so fun.
These are so good. So one, this one actually made me very mad. And I actually want to say their name because it's really amazing. At Pino Greasy Ho.
I mean.
I'm
jealous.
No, I'm
jealous.
And we applaud Shakespeare when that's around. Like that is what is genius to me.
That's modern. That's a modern day Shakespeare.
Sonnet.
That's
yeah.
Sonnet.
Sonnet. But they went to a Thanksgiving meal where there was one bottle of Prosecco for 10 people. That's talking relatives that you don't want to see that
one
are going to ask you.
One bottle of Prosecco?
For 10 people.
How much?
Les Mis had more and they were poor French in the revolution.
Honestly.
Like, oh. Ooh, my in-law spent the entire evening sitting in his car in front of the house.
I don't know if that's like super sad or super fucking boss, dude, where he's like, fuck you guys, yeah, I'm right. Sitting in my car. That's amazing.
That is really impressive. And I also could be someone who would be the driver in a heist. So maybe,
oh my God,
he might not have murdered someone, but he was there.
By the way, I loved all the raccoon photos that we got. I don't even remember what we said about a raccoon driving the getaway car, but y'all picked up on it and made my life when, like, all of a sudden I was getting just raccoons with little face masks on.
There's like the holy trinity of this podcast. It's Damp Couch.
It's Damp Couch.
Hillary Duff. And now raccoon.
And now raccoon heist drivers. Thank you, guys.
Someone sent this as a serial killer trait, but I feel like I would also do this. I ate a chocolate cake and a white claw for breakfast. Kind of sounds...
I mean, who didn't?
I mean, you know what I mean?
I know. We had people over and just like-minded thinking. Like, my roommate bought White Claw and then she went to another party where there was a whole thing of White Claw, so she took it and then somebody else came over. So, like, my fridge is just full of White Claw. And it really is kind of that thing, like, when you see it. Like, sometimes in the morning when I wake up, I'll go to get something out and I'll see a White Claw and I'll be like, I mean, what time is it?
And it's also, it's like...
Like, when they're in the fridge, you just want them.
And it's refreshing and cold. I'm not going to not.
Well, did we get somebody that said that? Or did I see that on the internet where somebody said... Maybe I saw a tweet that somebody was like, so my grandpa... Did you see that? Who was that?
I forget what account it was.
But it was like, so my grandpa has been drinking White Claw for months not knowing that they were alcoholic. And I don't know whose Twitter... We're not taking credit, but that really got me.
So good. And I mean, like, he's doing it goddamn right. Once you're over the age of 65, have a White Claw at 8 a.m.
But
I don't.
Also, like, when you don't know that you're getting drunk, I mean, you strive for that.
Yeah, he's probably just like, I feel great right now.
I strive for that.
And also, there's been a lot of polarizing. Are you, like, a lot of people are saying that it is a serial killer trait to eat the cranberry sauce. Are you on that poll, or?
I think cranberry sauce is, I think, yeah.
I love it.
Why?
I don't know. Because I like to schmear things. Do you know what I mean?
You like a good dip.
Yeah, I like to just be like, bloop. Because that's my thing. I just like to, like, well, also because
you like to mix and match?
No meal, fight me. Like, no food made for Thanksgiving dinner is inherently good. It's very much like potato famine, Irish, like, vibes of just like murky Brussels sprouts, collard greens, mashed potatoes, bread with onions in it for stuffing, and then like a dry turkey. So you got to throw some shit around, mix it up, a gravy, you need lube for it. It's a rough sex meal.
Oh my God.
Sarah.
Wait, you have a, listen, if your mac and cheese is dry, first off, switch that shit up, because that is a good lube. I mean, this year I straight made Velveeta in shells and put that shit over the whole plate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's also...
It's a wet noodle.
It's a wet shell.
But I mean, I guess I get it. Like, I guess for like, I've had it in like a sandwich.
That...
Like, you know, in the next day when you make the roll with the sandwich, because then that kind of acts as like a mustard mayonnaise, but it's sweet and it's jelly, essentially. Actually, no, it's not the same thing. It's fucking disgusting.
Well, that's
also like everything I said.
It seems like it's kind of like jelly who goes to like Bodwin College and majors in poetry. You're like, you are who you are.
You are who you are.
Cranberry sauce.
You are who you are.
But I'm glad all of our little, all the serial killers who listen had a good Thanksgiving and, didn't murder any of your extended family, but if you did, we can try and help with an alibi.
But you guys did great.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
Guys, it's finally happening. We've had a lot of suggestions for different international cases, and there's still so many good ones. This is one that, like, I remember being fascinated by. I remember being fascinated by it, and I just we've gotten a couple requests for it, and because it's just the more I was the more I was diving into it and looking at it, I was like. You know, you do. There are some articles that put a little doubt. I mean, like, you put a little doubt in my mind. Same thing.
It was one of those things where I was like, when I first started, I was like, oh, this is a signed, sealed, delivered
this
thing.
This is absolutely.
But then I was like, wait. Yeah. I'm now conflicted.
So, of course, we are talking about Australia's most infamous serial killer. We are talking about Kathleen Fulbig today.
Fulbig or go home.
Fulbig or go home. Oh, my God, Danny. That is so funny.
Episode title, and if I remember it.
That is. Write it down. Fulbig or go home. I mean, it's so rude, but so true.
So,
Kathleen Fulbig, if you're not familiar with Kathleen, she is a woman who is, well, I guess, should we just do the backstory? Should we just say who she is first? Okay. I guess we should give a little. She's in jail for murdering four of her children. Four out of four.
She's 100% killed.
Dentists recommend 4 out of 4 kids are dead. Kathleen's kids are dead. So Kathleen is in jail for that. So let's give you a little backstory on exactly what she, where she kind of came from. Because she's got actually a tragic backstory. Like,
that's also like, the thing, too. When I started reading this, I was like, oh, I just feel so bad. Like, from the get-go, she was never given
the tools to kind of succeed in life, which is unfortunate. Because you see this so often that people, you know, that kind of come up in
certain situations.
So many
cases start from this.
Yeah, so many cases start. So Kathleen Fulbig was born on June 14th in 1967. And when she was just 2 years old, in January 1969, her father, John Britton, murdered her mother by stabbing her 24 times after a fight. So, okay, like, I know that there's some kind of, like, they say that there's a little bit of, like, infant, what is it when you don't remember anything?
Cognitive dissonance or repression?
Of course I can't remember the word that you get.
Or disassociation. You're not forming memories.
Keep going.
Are we on pyramid game, like, match game?
Something you put in a toaster. Yeah. Amnesia.
Amnesia.
There we go. There's like toddler amnesia. I love that I couldn't remember the word for not remembering anything. Holy fuck.
We're almost through the year.
I need to start taking my St. John's warts, which is something that only people took in the 90s that was also probably a scam. Gotcha.
Definitely a scam.
We all know that I do this shit by now. So essentially, even though she was like a small child, you probably still kind of like remember something traumatic. Like, you have like a traumatic.
You don't remember
something.
The event, but you remember the feeling that you have and the fear that
I
kind of lives
so.
On. And definitely. That's what that.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I think people. Yeah.
You have these ones and it gets unpacked. Yeah.
Especially like if you're a kid and you're around parents that are screaming all the time and it happens a lot. And you know, to this point where they were fighting enough that he decided
to stab his mom. Because
also that's
what it wasn't just
stab their mom.
Like, picture perfect Doris Day moment, and then this. It was a tumultuous house that she was in.
Yeah, it was a tumultuous house. So Kathleen was obviously taken out of custody from her father, and she was actually made a ward of the state and then placed in foster care in 1970. And then she was removed from the first home, and she was placed in a children's home. And then 2 months later, she actually found a permanent foster care. But her sister, her foster sister, Leah Brown, who actually kind of plays a decent part in this case, has said that she had a difficult relationship. Kathleen had a difficult relationship with her foster mom, who Leah says was actually probably too old to have fostered
children,
Kathleen. Yeah. And then Leah ended up having a baby, and a lot of the foster mom's attention was on the baby and off of Kathleen. Mm-hmm. So I think there was obviously her feelings there. Yeah, and so she was in the house till she was a young adult. She actually left school at 15. She met Craig Fulbig in 1987, so she was 20 years old. And they started popping out kids at 21. So it was a really quick
turnaround. And also it was a thing, too, where she had no childhood or time to process emotions or learn how to handle anything that happens in life.
You're barely an adult. Yeah. You're barely an adult. And she actually has gone on to say, she's like, you know, after being a ward of the state for so long and, you know, being in foster care, like, I thought family was the ultimate important thing. So that's why she kind of is like, you meet a fellow, like, I think she actually said, you meet a fellow mm-hmm. and you have kids. And that's why it kind of just happened as quickly and as young as it did.
Because that's, she had no stability or no support system or no idea of what a home could or a full home could be for her. So when she saw this opportunity, she was like, yeah, I want all yeah. of this to happen for me.
Yeah,
now.
I want that.
I want it. I got that. It.
Yeah. I want it. I got it.
That's what Ariana, she's a big fan of Kathleen Flobig.
Why do you always ruin the names?
I know. I'm
Flobig?
So, Flobig.
Folbig.
Folbig. Oh, because now, because I'm only thinking of Flobig or Flow Home.
Flow big or flow go big or go home. Danny, you always, what did you call it last? Brickham?
Brickham?
You put the letter in next to the main
I
one.
Did, yeah, I don't know what happens
instead
with
of full big. He said my flow big. Not, yeah.
Is that a trend on TikTok? Could I become viral from mispronouncing words?
Danny,
let me know.
Brickham, flow big.
Wait, flow big is a position in Brickham though. You got enough flow big into the downward dog.
I'm physically covering my eyes. I can't even look at him anymore.
Okay, so while you're covering your eyes, I'm going to get to the part where things start to get very sketchy
crazy.
And intense. A little crazy.
Yep.
So like Casey said, they start to kind of right at the get-go popping out these kids. So between 1989 and 1999, Kathleen and Craig had four kids, but they also lost all four kids.
I can't even.
So
this is a dark one. This one's really hard, actually, because it's dealing with babies.
And that's also, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, too, but I feel like there's no... Everyone always says if you ever have a family friend, God forbid, hopefully not, that have lost a child or, you know, someone, it's like the biggest loss you could ever experience.
Yeah.
People are like, no one wants to outlive their kids.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Yeah, wild.
So the first one that was born was Caleb, who was born February 1st in 1989, and then died 19 days later.
Mm-hmm.
She says that he was found lifeless in his cot, and the officials said it was just like SIDS disease.
Yeah, which is sudden infant death syndrome, which I don't really know what, I should have probably looked up more about SIDS, but it's essentially the kid just
It's one of those things where it's like kids, yeah, they're
soon
not
after.
Born that healthy, and because their immune system is so weak at that time, they can just like anything can kind of jump to the death.
It still happens.
It's a very common. Yeah.
Is it still so common? I thought maybe it was kind of like less common
now,
but again,
they're better now because they have like the NICUs that are able to.
Yeah,
kind of,
you can kind of tell. Yeah. But yeah, SIDS. Like, how crazy is that? That you have a baby and then you just like have the baby at home and then it just like
die.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
So sad. So that was the official cause of Caleb's death at 19 days.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then, so then they had Patrick, who was born on June 3rd, 1990. So over a year after, who at 4 months old suffered severe brain damage from a mysterious and unexpected acute life-threatening event.
Mm-hmm.
He was revived by medical officials, but 4 months later on February 18th, 1991 was found dead also by Kathleen.
Mm-hmm. She kept finding him.
Yeah, she's been the finder keeper this entire time. So she has been. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was ruled just as kind of a epilepsy complication.
Yeah, they said that Patrick had epilepsy and this was just
so far. Two deaths that were
she's 0 for 2. Yeah.
And both these deaths were explained by medical officials, but she also was the person who found both of these children.
Yes.
Then she had Sarah, who was born on October 14th, 1992. And then in August 1993, at 10 months, she was unable to be resuscitated. And then an autopsy said that it was SIDS again.
Mm-hmm. And again, found by Kathleen.
And it's also kind of an interesting, I mean, even just taking a breath now, it's insane how they constantly are still continuing to try and have kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess like if you want a baby, you do want a baby and you want to start a family, but it's...
I would be broken. My heart would be broken.
I
would need to lie in bed for like 10 years.
Right. And then going through the process of being pregnant again. Because all these kids born to term.
Putting her body through. Yeah.
This insane.
Yeah. Oh. And it is like, even though like it was like a 10-year span, like some like between it's like 89 to 90 to 91, like that's three 92. Babies in 3 years.
And also,
that you put your body through that you don't have
anymore.
Yeah,
and she's off. Like there's 9 months of those years where she is pregnant through all of this too.
Yeah.
And then I want to say it was when Sarah was born, they did move to a new city. Yeah,
so I think they actually moved after Patrick, after Patrick, then they also moved after Sarah.
Sarah.
So I don't know if they were trying to escape something. I mean, who knows? She has a lot of really cockamamie thoughts about why her kids died. Yeah. So I think she was a little, obviously, a little kind of off a bit. Yeah. But yeah, they did move. I think this is when they moved to New South Wales.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, so then they had Laura, who was born August 7th, 1997.
So a couple years after.
Yeah,
a little bit of time.
And she lived until she was 19 months old. So she was the oldest, the farthest along child that was able to live.
And she was just shy of two.
Yeah. And then she died February 27th, once again found by Kathleen. And she said that she found her lifeless body in her bed and called an ambulance, but she was unable to be revived. The cause was said to be myocarditis.
Myocarditis?
People hate when we mispronounce things, but just call us out on it. Myocarditis. They didn't cover this on Grey's Anatomy. If Ellen Pompeo told me how to say this, I would be able to say it.
Myocarditis?
Well, what we do know is that it is an inflammation of the heart muscle, but it's non-life-threatening.
Yes, that according to a lot of medical.
A lot of medical. So it typically wouldn't be, it's not like a disease you hear from that a kid has. You're like, oh, they could die from this. It usually is not one that is life-threatening and kind of lower risk.
Yeah, yeah.
But finally, after all of this, a pathologist took an autopsy and started to get a little suspicious.
Yeah, the pathologist that was working was kind of like, huh.
And also, it's sort of like...
You don't say. Number four?
That's the thing. It's kind of overarching, too, of being like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, how many kids... I mean, because the odds on this is like this woman should have also then played the lottery because the odds of this fucking happening like this are, I mean.
And also, it's interesting too. You would think because you even have people that are trying that try to get pregnant if they have like a miscarriage or something that they could be like,
yeah,
you should look at other options because this there could be something just like something wrong with you or that it might make it harder for you to give birth or for you to biologically have a child. Like there could be other options for you, but I feel like that was never really, no one really addressed that. That was the thing she was looking into.
No, it was just kind of like, okay, here's another baby.
Yeah.
So the pathologist,
the pathologist went to a detective and the family initially believed that it was a witch hunt.
Yeah. They were like, there's no fucking way.
Furious. Yeah. Thinking like, how could you do this? We've been through all these losses. But then,
bum, 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 bum.
Craig found Kathleen's diaries.
Okay.
I was going to say a grown woman with a diary, but she is in her 20s. But
she's
still,
got a lot of diaries,
a lot
too.
Of
she
diaries.
Had a shit ton of diaries.
This is before Zenga. Then Craig and Kathleen's foster sister that we talked about earlier, Leah, became witnesses because the diaries officially turned this into a murder investigation.
Yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the diaries, first of all, I kind of wish I was better about journaling and stuff like that, but
I think so all the time.
Could you imagine like actually having a, like this one, she recorded her every thought, her every feeling.
It's so like, I feel like it's like such a nice thing, a cool, I mean, it could be not that great, but I mean, it's just kind of a cool, like, thing to do that you can look back and be like, oh, what did I do that day? What did I do this year?
Yeah. Every time I look back at like journals that I took at certain points in my life, I'm like, oh, I wish I was doing this all the time because I don't even fucking remember what I did on Monday. And today is Monday.
I know. I don't know what day it is until you just said that.
I know. But so these diaries, though, were not, not necessarily your run of the mill.
I have a crush. For lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a crush on Rob. They were a bit more damaging than that. Kathleen had been essentially writing down all her feelings throughout the whole process of losing the children. And the words she was saying did not necessarily look...
Yeah, look good.
They didn't look good.
Especially when there's four...
When there's four dead
children
babies.
Who lost their lives.
Yeah, it was... So essentially, this is what... we have a couple of the excerpts that we found in a couple different... there's a couple different articles that we pulled these from.
Yeah.
They're fucking heavy as fuck. So when daughter Laura was 2 months old, she wrote, She, quote, wouldn't have handled another one like Sarah. She saved her life by being different, end quote. She said it was her hope and dream that her being different would have saved her life, but, quote, in the end, it didn't. Because she would talk about how Sarah was a kind of a, probably like a colicky baby.
Yeah, would cry a lot, would keep her up.
Yeah.
Being a baby.
AKA just doing baby stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they process. Like, babies cry. Like, they can't just tell you what's wrong with them. They're just, like, just growing and doubling in size.
They can't say turn down the temperature.
Living in the fucking world for the first time. Yeah, they're going to cry. This is what else she said. Quote, she's a fairly good-natured baby. This is, again, about Laura. Thank goodness it has saved her from the fate of her siblings. I think she was warned. Which is witchy.
This is the first one. I was like, okay, you believe in a witch. Something warning your baby.
Yeah.
About she believes not crying as much.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to the things that she believed what were happening, but another entry said, quote, I feel like the worst mother on this earth, scared she'll leave me now like Sarah did. I knew I was short-tempered and cruel sometimes to her, and she left with a bit of help. That's what she said about Sarah, with a bit of help. Okay.
Like, that's damning.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she also said, I am my father's daughter. Which, you know, at the end of the day, her father killed her mother. She actually said she was claiming that the with a little bit of help part is a reference to God or a higher power. Because, again, Kathleen thought that there were supernatural powers. She thought that that other things were making decisions about her children's lives, that she was not in control of
it. She had no say in anything.
Yeah. It's like often great, like she's crazy, but
but that's why the father's daughter thing really is the thing that threw me off a lot,
because that's not a super thing. That's her saying like
you're
as crazy and violent as him.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That's
Oh my God. She often doubted and worried about her skills as a mother, and said that the diaries were kind of representations of that stress, and that she was also just like going through all the shit because she kept losing her kids. But I don't know. There's a lot more. There's some more entries too that are just wicked and wild.
So another entry is, this was the day that Patrick was born. I had mixed feelings this day, whether or not I was going to cope as a mother or whether I was going to get stressed out like I did last time. I often regret Caleb and Patrick only because your life changes so much. And maybe I'm not a person who likes change.
I mean.
And also, there's a thing where there's an entry like that. I mean, we can get into things later. It's like you hear about postpartum depression.
Yeah.
But like no one is checking in on. I mean, I guess I don't know if back in the 90s, that wasn't a thing that you checked in on that much. But also, it's like, if you're having a feeling that she could have, like, she should have maybe voiced it better. But I know it's a hard thing to voice.
I mean, yeah. I mean, clearly, after everybody should probably get help if you have a child pass away. And there was nothing that said, she sought help. She sought psychiatric. Like, there was nothing.
Or it
was
no one just on the medical side being like,
no.
Hey, we have to check on you.
Yeah.
That's what I really, that's an interesting.
I mean, no excuse to, but like, clearly there was some shit going on with her that was not, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why it gets tricky, because you're like, is she just like a postpartum? Like, was she really just so postpartum that she did this? Or is she a fucking psychopath?
Yeah.
Or did these kids all actually die of natural causes? Did the witches take them away and take their souls? But it's like, it's crazy. It's wild.
So in her diaries, as we can kind of gather, she said that she's done these terrible things, but that did not mean she killed her children.
Yeah.
So another quote, my guilt of how responsible I feel for them all haunts me. My fear of it happening again haunts me. And then another, with Sarah, all I wanted was her to shut up, and one day she did.
Like, that's not nice.
That's not.
She didn't like Sarah.
She's
she really, like, half of these
Sarah's
entries.
Sarah's Jan. Jan from the Brady Bunch.
Sarah is her Jan.
Yeah, sure, Jan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a diary entry 4 years after Sarah died was, quote unquote, heartless.
Yeah.
And the entry read, I miss her, but I am not sad that Laura is here and she isn't.
She hates Sarah.
She hates Sarah.
It's so wild.
And she also, this is kind of just like, bitch, she hoped the diaries would not come back to me.
Yeah, that's what she said later. She's like, I hope they won't come back to bite me.
Like,
it's like, maybe don't write about maybe killing your kids. Yeah. Well, she never actually explicitly said, like, I killed them. It was just all this, like, I feel bad. I'm a bad mom. Mm-hmm. I got too stressed. I did terrible things. But, like, she never blatantly said, like, I killed them.
Dorinda Medley from Real Housewives has a quote, like, write it, regret it, say it, forget it, or something like that. And if that's what, she should have helped her out.
Write it, regret it, say it,
forget
it. Because
like, if you send a text
it,
and people can say it, but if you just say it, and then like you might not even say it near them, you just get off your chest.
Why is she a genius?
She really is, Dorinda. Oh, She loves a good martini. So, I mean,
she does love a good martini. Does,
she knows what she's doing just fine.
She gets drunk.
She gets.
I remember watching this one episode. Her lipstick was all over the place.
One time I was at an event and she was so wasted smoking a cigarette, she burned, like, her cigarette got onto my shoulder.
Did you save it?
Their scab is still there. I'm like, these scars remind me. Is that Nickelback? Who knows?
Oh my God. Corn? Probably one of those guys.
So in total, after all of this, 6 diaries were used against her, and there were 5 unaccounted for.
Yeah. She also was accused of trying to hide one that her husband found that maybe was the most
to get some evidence away. Yeah.
But she says she didn't. She's like, they were all out there for everybody to see all the time.
She said that the diaries were from a point of her always blaming herself. And then you're kind of like, blaming yourself, like, that's like, so do you feel like you deserve guilt? Like, what happens with that? But then she also still said that she did not kill her kids.
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, it's hard because it was one of those things when I first started thinking about this case, I was like, oh, this is kind of very much like, she's killing these kids. It's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Done. But then I was like, even learning more, I was like, she clearly, I mean, has had such a traumatic childhood and still at this age is like 22, 23, 20, and like getting older into her 20s, having no mental support.
No mental support.
She's getting, and like mean that from like outside people, like being like, oh, do you need, from the medical examiners being like, okay, you had a child that was lost. We should have you sit down, talk to someone, or advising her what she should be doing. And on top of that, no doctor being like, all right, well then 1 to 2 of your kids have passed away from these diseases. Let's take a look at what you biologically are like. Let's get let's get a genetic test on you.
Clearly,
let's,
something with the sperm and the egg is not
working.
Something that's a bit weak. You know what? You're right. But I don't know if that was like as, I don't know if people knew to do that yet. I mean, like now, you know, we can pretty much make any child we want in a Petri dish.
Truly. It's like a Chipotle bowl. You just kind of customize it.
Honestly. It's,
guac is extra even for children. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want your kids to have green eyes, it's extra. That's guac.
What are you feeling about her though?
I'm still laughing at guac eyes. Okay.
Guac eyes. Guac eyes.
That's the name of my first single. Guac eyes, my baby, and a Petri dish.
It's a Christmas song, but also a St. Patrick's Day song, and also a Arbor Day. It's a year-round jingle.
Maybe a Flag Day song.
Yeah. Ooh, hey, you know what?
Guac eyes, guac eyes. If you say guac eyes enough, it sounds like a full-blown word, though. Guac eyes. Guac eyes.
Ooh, guac eyes. Oh, guac eyes. It's kind of sensual.
Do not make my baby's green eyes sexy. Like, stop it.
What point of the podcast do you think Sarah turned it off?
The beginning, when we flubbed the intro. She's like, you guys can't even do one thing fucking right. Just kidding. We love Sarah. We hope she's having, she's in Paris. She's and in we Paris, hope she's having the best love. Time. Yeah. I'm saying the more I thought it was just like up and down, she killed her kids. And now I think that there was, I don't know. I still think that the coincidence is too great. It's too great.
And also the moving gives me, there's something with,
But again, if she thought that there was like supernatural spirits after her, then maybe she's like, we got to move to New South Wales. Like, why'd I give her a Jersey accent?
Hey, we got to move. We got to move down the turnpike.
Yeah, this is my Australian accent. We got to move to New South Wales. It's like my cousin Vinny.
Nicole Kidman who? You know what I mean?
Yeah. We gotta move to New South Wales. Okay. You're welcome. If you would like to speak to my acting teacher, I can give you recommendations. Fuck, dude. Okay. So, that is something wild. Like, she was kind of running away from it.
Yeah.
But I get that. Like, but I would also, like, if I had 2 babies that died, I'd be like, I want to get the fuck out of this town. I'm moving to Phoenix.
We know how, I think, suburbs work. If you've grew up in a suburb, you know how people love to talk and roll eyes in a grocery store. You don't want to be the person like, oh, they lost 2 kids. Like, you know what I mean? And just like people, that would get under my skin really fast. I just want to start a new.
Because then you're also like, you know, presumably when people just think that you, have lost 2 kids before they think that you've killed them. Mm-hmm. It's also like
you're book club fodder. Yeah.
But also like people don't talk to you like a real person anymore. Yeah, everything they say to you is like, oh, hi. And you're like, you know, and I'm sure it was probably, she probably needed some sympathy or like, you know, sympathy was great. Yeah. But like, you no longer cease to be a regular person that can have a regular conversation. Okay. Everybody just wants to like pet the top of your hand and ask about your tragedies, you know?
Yeah. And you're just like,
how are you?
But are you?
You're like, I'm just trying to buy a cheese.
Yeah. Like, she's like,
can
a
I
two
just
for
buy
one.
Cheese without fucking having to relive this tragedy?
Exactly.
But so, the diaries obviously were entered. She did have to go to court, obviously, because at that point, the you can't ignore the diaries, regardless of what she meant or regardless of what she was fucking feeling. Mm-hmm. You cannot ignore.
Dear diary, Britney Spears, it's happening.
Dear diary, my kids are dead. Yeah, it was. It's just, it's too much. It's too much. The points that she had something to do with it. So essentially, she goes to trial. It's a 7-week trial. The prosecution said that their argument was that she had actually smothered all of her children in periods of frustration, that she was somebody who was prone to stress and prone to dark moods, and that she found all the kids and did not attempt to perform CPR on 3 of them, which, I mean, yeah. When you read that in plain English, you're just like, yeah, that, fucking, those are your kids.
Those are,
attempt
you do,
CPR.
You do.
Even you don't wait till somebody gets there.
Yeah, you try whatever you can do immediately.
You try whatever you can do.
The, like, maternal or just human instincts jump in to save a life.
Yeah. Also, the minute you find one baby, like, I would have taken infant CPR the next
That's
fucking day.
Actually, really true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. So saying that out loud like that is pretty, like, yeah, she should have done that. Kathleen said that her mood. She acknowledges that she had dark moods and that she was affected. She said that her mood actually affected everything. And the children who died, it was because they decided that they didn't want to be with her anymore.
That's not really a...
Well, the barrister that was representing her husband, reminded her that children don't decide whether or not they want to live. And Kathleen said, at that stage in my life, I did not know that. So there's some stuff happening with Kathleen's brain.
That's the... Yeah.
Yeah. The barrister representing her husband also said that he believes that the reason was not dark moods. It was just homicidal rage and psychological mood swings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was the dark moods and just also this homicidal rage. So like I said, it's like, is it postpartum or was she actually just, did she have underlying psychopath tendencies? Because
from a genetic
thing.
That she, yep. Yeah.
From a tree that just, she had no control over. Kathleen kind of blames paranoia. She said she just, she said she was always just doubting
Her ability as a mother,
because she didn't know. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what a mom was, really.
And also she became a mom at 22. Yeah, and that's, she had no mother figure in her life because even her foster mom didn't really give her the attention that a foster mom or any.
It's really sad. It's sad that you don't, like I said, she wasn't, I mean, don't kill your kids, but it's like she just was never set up with the tools. Like this woman was never going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And that's what's sad about it. It's like she was never.
I think that's why I get mixed feelings on this case. Because I'm like, obviously it's awful that four children were stripped of their life, but then also there was a child 20 years before they were even around that was stripped of her childhood.
Kathleen,
and there's obviously people make it out of so many predicaments even worse than her doing better and not doing something like this, but it's not always the case.
Yeah, you don't have to be a victim in certain situations in your life, but sometimes you really, there are times when you're just not set up.
You don't know
succeed.
How to not win or how to win.
You don't, you don't know how to win. That's true. Oh, it's so sad. It's sad for everybody here. This is a sad case. She actually also didn't testify. So her only voice in this case were the diaries, which we have already just said were just not.
Do you think that was a good call for her? Or?
No, she said later, she's like, I wish I would have talked. Exactly. She's like, I wish I would have said something. She's like, that was just, she actually tried to flee the courtroom too. I think when they were reading what she said to the police, she was like, ah!
She Ted Bundy'd it. Yeah.
Yeah. She was trying to get out of there. I think it was a lot for her to take. And obviously because she didn't speak and because of the diary entry, she was convicted of killing all 4 of her children before they reached the age of 2. She got murder counts for Patrick, Laura, and Sarah, and a manslaughter count for Caleb, who was the 19-day-old. Yeah. She was originally sentenced to 40 years, with 30 of them being non-parole. And in February 2005, an appeals court reduced it to 30 years with 25 non-parole. She's now serving the 30 years in New South Wales. And actually, due to the nature of the crimes that she's punished for, apparently she is in protective custody in the jail to prevent violence from other inmates. I think it's really funny, the hierarchy. Not funny. Funny is not the right word, but hierarchy in jail where they're like, murderers, but like if you fuck over a kid, you're the worst one.
You're
know,
wrapped
like,
up in a.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've got this weird hierarchy.
You're high, the highest risk, but also then they gave her 10 years less. Like that's what I was confused that she was even.
Because I think there were so many because here's the wildest part about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. She has a ton of supporters. There are, it is like almost split down the middle.
It's more than Pamela Smart. Like, she has a lot.
No, yeah. She has got like, I read this thing that said that there was a, I guess she did a 60 Minutes interview, and there was a poll given to like 3,500 people or something like that. 56% said that she was guilty. Mm-hmm. 44% thought that she was wrongly accused because of the, essentially the fact that there is no physical evidence that mm-hmm. she smothered the kids. So it's wild. So essentially they dropped it because there was all these petitioners. Well, people keep wanting to get her out.
Get her out, yeah. And yeah. That's kind of a way. And it's like 10 years. Like, she's still going to be in there for, she's still in there for a bit.
Yeah, she's eligible for parole 2028.
Yeah, because she exhausted all of her appeals.
Yep, she's finally done. But like, it was happening. Like, people kept trying to bust this bitch out of jail.
So kind of like, I'll give you guys like some context for all of that. In 2013, a barrister got a team of lawyers for review. And this is a forensic pathologist said Caleb and Sarah were correctly diagnosed with SIDS.
Yep.
And that Patrick's cause of death was related to epilepsy and Laura's was the myocarditis.
He said there was microscopic evidence, or like there was some evidence that really said that it was because of that. You couldn't
completely rule out that those were the causes of it.
Right.
And that's also where I'm like, they should, like, so she, I feel like she really just wasn't genetically equipped to give birth in general. Like, her kids would have been born with, I feel like that's a very weird thing that four kids have diseases with that.
Yeah.
The pathologist also said there were no signs of smothering and no face compression on Laura.
Yeah.
And she was kind of like the case where, because they said, especially with her, the evidence she did die from this, it's very present, but they can't say she didn't murder the other ones, essentially. Yeah,
but they were like essentially just being like, but there's no evidence that she smothered Laura because her face, her nose wasn't smushed, mm-hmm. her lip would have gone, like her teeth would have gone into her lip.
Like, your body isn't completely formed then, or when you're little, like things would have, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, the baby would have been wiggling, and so there would have been some kind of like something.
Internal bruisings even.
Something, yeah. But
so,
essentially, there was none of that.
Yeah. And then another inquiry in 2018 was requested by petitioners. So all these people that are
supporters,
her stands.
Yeah.
To ensure public confidence in the administration of justice about doubt in the evidence. But the judge rejected it, stating he did not have any reasonable doubt as to the guilt of Kathleen Megan Folbig for the offenses of which she was convicted.
Yeah. So essentially, this guy was like, because there's Kathleen has come out and given a couple now, like she's talked to a couple people. But this is recent.
Yeah, recent. Yeah. And they're like kind of some of like, I think I read one in 2018 where she did say like there was a higher power involved in the death of her kid. So she's really like full speed ahead on that as the case.
And she's like, I'm so tired. Like, we keep getting these little bits of hope because essentially every single time they've tried to like appeal or new evidence has tried to be introduced, all the only thing they keep saying is like, there's no physical evidence. There's no physical evidence. So it's like, yes, okay. But again, the coincidence I don't know.
It's
so weird.
It makes
me feel weird.
Has the husband commented on anything recently? I was trying to find.
I think in the husband and the stepsister, or the husband and the foster sister, are both like, she did it.
She did. Yeah, it's kind of like a sign.
Because I think once he found the journal, he was like, I can't. And I think that's also partly because for him, that's why the judge is like, I'm not going to put this poor man through anything else.
For the just, yeah.
Yeah, he's lost four of his kids. I'm not even going to look at this bitch's stuff.
I know, because it's also, it's like you have to. And I think that's also the thing, kind of what you were saying, where like people who murder children are held in high security in prisons, and also they're looked at so differently in the court of law, because it is a thing where it's like there are some crimes that you can not see both ends, but you can at least try to reason in your head why anything happened. For killing a kid, you can't really.
They can't even say like
the definition of innocence and just truly.
Yeah.
Fear, like, oh my God.
And again, babies cry.
Babies cry.
Babies be crying.
And I mean, that's the awful thing too. It's like their entire life was just lived to be murdered. It's just, it makes me feel so awful about this case. And that's why I do feel that it is the right that she should kind of, I mean, now that it's 30 years, ride those out and then kind of just do whatever she, I don't know what she would even do after getting out of.
Do they have the death penalty in Australia?
I don't think so. I don't know.
We don't know if you guys know, but like, I guess, but you're right. It is kind of weird that the sentence got lowered, and it is kind of weird because I think we're just kind of like real jacked in America that people get life for, I mean, yeah, if you look at Pamela Smart got life for murdering, for not even pulling the trigger on the husband, for orchestrating it. And here's this woman that they essentially said killed four kids. Children,
who's out in 30 years.
And they gave her 30 years.
That's vibrant.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if you're like, I don't know if that's like, okay, we believe in rehabilitation, you know, and we think maybe people learn, or like I wonder what the reasoning
the
is.
Weird thing too, where it's like that. Between like Pamela Smart while she's in prison, she's been getting degrees, educating,
super
working
active
with like women's rights for prisoners and stuff like that. Showing, but not showing remorse, which is the major kicker.
Not taking any blame.
Any blame.
Yeah,
and that's also kind of topical too. Bill Cosby has done doing the same thing. He's not, he'd rather serve out his 10 years than admit any remorse or anything like that. So,
I think Bill Cosby's going to perish in jail.
Oh, but he's already like, he's like blind in 82, right? Or something. What is he? Yeah.
What a shithead.
Oh my God.
What a shithead.
But then we have a, Kathleen, who's, I don't really know. There hasn't really been a lot of, at least when I was looking at, there's not a ton of what she has been doing in prison, but I also don't know if that's because she's at such maximum security that she doesn't really have the ability to like paint with inmates. Like Pamela Smart is doing.
Well, she's able, like, because a couple of the articles are from like her friends. Like she still like calls, she's got a couple best friends that she like talks to still like once a week. And she's just kind of like, yeah, I'm bummed. It's like we keep getting this stuff and now it keeps going nowhere. Like essentially, yeah, she's got, but that's it. Yeah, I haven't seen anything that says that she's like trying to do anything in there. She keeps kind of still just alluding to this thing that she was going through a tough time, but it didn't mean that she killed her kids. Mm-hmm. Like that she was just like a depressed person.
That's the thing. There's so many roads that this case could take that you're, and also it's the sad thing too. At the end of it, every road is very heartbreaking and depressing too.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, you guys like a juicy, sad heart wrencher. You know, this
here
is
you
not
go.
This is not a, Carolyn Calloway was not on this episode at all. Just a whole lot.
No, she was not.
No, she's not.
Do we have any, also if we have any people in Australia that have any insider info or what did the people, how did people react?
I know.
There?
And like, is she a known,
call the
like,
hotline.
Is she still known? Yeah. Call the hotline, which is our DMs.
Well, I think, which is our DMs.
Because we have a lot of Australian listeners and that makes me feel so, it makes me feel like 3 pounds skinnier. I don't know why.
My tits feel
like
bigger.
The metrics, you know what I mean?
My tits feel one size bigger and I feel like I have Botox.
Yes. Oh my God.
True.
Skin. So thank you Australia for that. But yeah, let
thank
us know
Australia.
What. Every like what is your guys' point of view on her?
Yeah, because I will say that the reason why I think probably you maybe because do you remember hearing about this case when it came out?
Not that much, no.
Because I remember hearing about it, and essentially, you know, the only thing that they give to us here, you know, would be like women kills kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get all the backstory of like of kind of the other stuff.
We got the media packaging of it.
We get the media. Yeah, you get the hey, we've already made a decision on this woman, and you are not allowed to have a different decision because this is what it is, which is kind of like, I mean, they do that. I'm actually really interested to watch that Richard Jewell movie? The one about the guy, Bobby Jewell, no, the guy from something Jewell, right? The guy from,
Run the Jewels?
Do you call him Raoul Jewell?
I said Run the Jewels.
Oh, Run the Jewels, Raoul Julius. The guy for the bombing at the Olympics.
Oh.
He's the guy that found the bomb, but then they also accuse him. And I actually don't remember what happened, if he was the guy or not. But like, the ads, they say that essentially, you know, you run one picture of a guy and you say, hey, maybe he actually planted it. You never get your life back.
No, you're done.
The media fucking ruins. I mean, some people obviously, I'm not saying that like, I mean, with some people that do terrible things, like absolutely, it's like reporting it. But like before, you know, when you just package something one way,
because that's the thing too. Where and also media would, I mean, obviously we're guilty of this too. Media companies know people want as many details as possible, even over details. So if they have even a hint of another story, another way to like leg out this thing for a day, they're going to do it. So they're going to post something that might be like, we think this ... so they're not against the law, but then someone's life is ruined.
Yeah, but someone's going to run with that.
Someone's going to run with
that. I mean, just even think of the twists and turns of the McCann case.
When
all of a sudden it was the parents, and then it was like the parents never quite got back on the good side of people.
Everyone's going
to
eye them.
They went from grieving parents whose daughter is gone to everybody, to nobody trusting them. And they're still just trying to find their fucking daughter. It's wild. But I mean, at the same time, we wouldn't know. You know, you don't know about things unless the media tells you, but then they don't always tell you the truth. It's such a weird thing.
It's
there's drilling about us, and it sounded like a giant person farting right in the middle of our media discussions.
Media talk, our fucking Bloomberg roundtable here.
What the hell, building?
And you have some shows coming up, right?
Oh, transition. Okay. No, I have a root canal next week. If anybody wants to hang out down at...
That's the drill.
Yeah, I have a root canal next week. Wait, do I have a show?
You have something in Connecticut?
Oh, yes. I do. Oh, shit. Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Danny. My publicist, Danny.
Now, while she finds out, Jen Allen, I know you are always saying, when is Casey going to be in Connecticut? She's going to be here now, so you better go fucking see those.
Hey, Jen Allen. On Sunday, December 15th, I am going to be in Springfield, Massachusetts
doing
a show. It's called OMG Comedy Club. Ooh. And I love that. My friend Jess Miller puts it on. It's on 232 Worthington Street in Springfield, Matt. Uh-huh. And I'm borrowing my sister's car, so let's party.
Wow, I like that.
Let's party. But that's, where I'll be on Sunday. I think the show's at 7 or 8.
Cool.
DM me if you want to go at CaseFaceB. We wrapped up our thoughts.
We wrapped up our thoughts, right? Did we? We did, because then we wrapped it up and then we talked about the media.
We wrapped it up.
Guys, if we missed any loose ends.
Guys, if you would like us to button this further, let us know and we'll go back in time and fucking do it.
You know I have to sing
a lot this episode.
If I could turn back time.
If I could find a way. Did you see the Cher show?
No, I didn't.
I saw half of it because...
I feel like that's all you need to see.
You're right there. It was actually really fun.
Oh,
well,
because
it was Bob Mackie costumes.
That is true.
But it was Robbie threw out his back and he called me. He was poor guy. When I was at the show, he's like, "Oh, I just went to Rite Aid and now I'm lying on the ground outside of Rite Aid."
Oh my.
I know. So I was like, "Oh, I have to be a good girlfriend." And so I left a Broadway show in the middle, which was one of the hardest things I've ever had.
So just like pick up your like truly Simba him?
No, he had to get somebody, he had to call somebody from a comedy club to put him in. Oh. Two students rode with him in the taxi. He couldn't fucking walk.
That's scary.
So whenever I think of Cher, I'll think of that.
Ugh. I got you, babe.
I got you, babe. Got you, babe.
Babe,
I got you.
Babe.
And then he just had to lie in our bed with his fucking cement clothes because he couldn't move. Aww. And that, I was like,
you're like, but you disgust me.
I was like, take your clothes off. He's like, I can't move. And I'm like, figure it out. No, I'm just kidding. You're like,
this is a you problem.
I'm just kidding. I got you, babe. All right, Danny. Danny's got a show and I'm going to it. I got to text Rachel because I want to come with me.
So December 12th, Thursday at 10 p.m., Union Hall. Pass the Ox, Casey and Rachel Deloche Williams are going to be in the audience.
I have to message her. Rachel,
come. Sarah to come. So come to do that. And then I'm doing a show the next day, Reductress Live. But please come to my show because that's the one.
Nice. You're doing Reductress?
Yeah, which will be fun. It should be cute. And that's December 13th. And then...
Where's Reductress?
Caveat in the city.
Nice. Caveat's cool.
Stopping ground. Yeah. And then again, there's something we want to tell you guys, but we can't tell you yet.
Yeah, again, we got a secret.
I know. I like having a secret, though. It makes me feel like an influencer.
It does make me feel like an influencer.
But what I also want, besides everyone to still just say Hillary Duff deserves the world 5 stars, like we just need that on the review. I want to know, is there like a fun holiday movie that like we could that's like also like killer, serial killer-ish, you know what I mean? Like I would like a spin with that. So if there's...
You want to watch like a fake movie or like a documentary that's based around...
Like a fake movie.
Is there a...
For a fun holiday special, like a Hallmark... Like Hallmark meets Lifetime. Do you know what I mean? Like a Lifetime Christmas movie where someone gets murdered. If someone knows anything in that realm, let us know.
That would be really fun.
So then we could do like a fun over the holidays.
Yeah.
But...
There's got to be some kind of Christmas-themed... Christmas
Santa goes through a chimney.
Scam.
There has to be some...
There's
got to
be somebody that tried to scam people, like some kind of like Macy's fraud or something. Right? Do you guys have any... If you have any leads on any holiday-themed... crimes
involving Macy's or Lifetime
or like the people that ring the bells and have the buckets, where do those go? Do we know?
They actually have...
Is that a scam?
No, but they...
That's
have
real,
some,
right?
There's some hot... Like they don't support a lot of subsections of people that get them into trouble.
Really?
Yeah, the Salvation Army, they don't support... Or I think they're getting better with it, but they used to be like Chick-fil-A, where they wouldn't donate to LGBTQ,
rude,
trans, or I think not a lot of charities of color or people of color. But I think they're better with that, so we'll see.
That's so wild.
I know, right?
How do you be philanthropic
to
only part,
you know what I mean?
Part of the people?
Right? And then it's also, too, because I know what...
Spread
I do
that
love.
Bucket around,
yeah.
Sirs.
But that's why I love... I think that's one of the reasons Cyndi Lauper started her charity for all homeless LGBTQ during the holidays. So
Equity Fights AIDS?
True Colors Fund. But she does...
There we go.
She has like... That's my dream in life, just to be so rich and beloved that I can just have like charity concerts. I'm just like, go do this. She's so good too.
Let's do a charity show.
Let's do a charity show.
We could do a charity comedy show.
Yeah.
All Let's right. set it up.
All right, guys. We're
all right. New secret coming soon. Mine and Danny's charity show featuring Cyndi Lauper and the Salvation and the Salvation Army Santas. It'll probably be somewhere in Jersey, honestly, if I'm thinking of how to get all these people to one place.
It's going to be in East Rutherford, not MetLife Stadium, but yeah. somewhere in the
It's going to be at the Watcher House. They're renting it out for events now.
Westfield's actually really chic. Oh.
Oh, my God.
The new Trader Joe's. All right, guys.
The new Trader Joe's. Fuck, yes. All right,
so we have a lot to plan. We've got a lot of schematics.
We have a lot to plan. But again, Lifetime Holiday Scam Macy's. Those Cyndi Lauper. Those are your buzzwords. That's your homework.
All right. Good night and good morrow.
Perfect.
Betches.